Let me.
Sorry if my over exuberance kind of shot the agenda here.
We're all going to turn these mics on. You derailed us.
I know, it's his fault.
With all those hugs and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
All right, I think.
All right, call to order the October 12th meeting of the Animal Advisory Committee of the Henderson County Commission. This is Catherine Overstreet, Vice Chair, in place of Carol Roop, who is not able to be here this evening.
I'm Brett. Go ahead.
I was going to make a motion to open the meeting to the public.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
I'm Brad Redfield, clerk to the board, and if I could ask everybody, we'll start with Dr. Jewell, to go around and introduce, just tell your name so that for the record we'll know who's speaking.
Brian Jewell.
Donna Young.
Jack Walsh.
John Lynn.
And then Catherine Overstreet. So I sent out an agenda, which is, everybody's aware, it's really short tonight, and I don't see anybody here for public comment. Going to the ordinances, letting you guys know that on the 18th, I'll be presenting the ordinances that we've been working on since, I guess, April, or prior to April. I'm finally going to be presenting those to the Board of Commissioners on the 18th. That's next Wednesday in the morning. So this process will be complete pending that they approve everything. They may have some questions and they may tweak some things that I don't know.
Been to the attorneys and looked at?
Yes.
Already? Okay.
And actually, I'm surprised. It used to be that the attorney would go through it and write it and then send it to the meeting. But I'm not an attorney, but I wrote all the stuff in there, and evidently he thought it was good enough to stay in there, so it's staying in there unless they tell him to write it a different way. So anyhow, but in number 15 in chapter 16, the voluntary relinquishment of animals, is being clarified in there that the shelter is only obligated to take owner's surrender dogs, cats, and ferrets. Now, strays, we'll take any stray if it's a domestic animal. We can't take wild animals. So we'll take strays. But if somebody shows up, for example, with a guinea pig, if we have the resources available, and most of the time we will, we're going to take that guinea pig and rehome it. But if I'm full of cats and I haven't satisfied the 3-day hold on them, and just bust that thing, I can point to the ordinance and say, I do not have to take your animal at this time. But, you know, you can
what about bunnies?
Later. Same bunnies.
Okay.
Unless it's a dog, cat, or ferret, they would fall into the category to where I could turn them away. But in most cases, I'm not going to. So I just wanted to kind of caveat that. That'll be more of a policy thing. That won't be in the ordinance, but it will be a policy type thing. Any questions? A few months ago, I did a PowerPoint presentation because we had so many new people on the board, and this is just an update of that. And this time, I've got hard copies. And I couldn't get the PowerPoint. Actually, that's probably working fine. It's my computer is actually the issue. I can't access it on my computer because of a software thing that's not working. But so I think that Mr. Walsh is our newest member, and what this PowerPoint does is it goes through and kind of it tells our mission statement. It kind of gives a picture of what we do at the shelter and what we focus on from day to day. So on the first page, and I'm not going to read this verbatim. You guys can take it home and read it. We can look through it if y'all have any questions, but I would like to go and highlight some of the services we provide, and I'm going to hit on the things that right now are kind of hot topics and things that we spend a lot of time on. And One of those is reuniting lost animals with their owners. Man, let me tell you, it takes a lot of time and effort dealing with people calling lost pet reports, found pet reports, linking those folks up, getting good information to where you can do that is a challenge. But we're getting better, and you'll see later as we flip through these pages evidence of that. We don't really have a hard time finding homes, getting animals out that are adoptable. We work with so many rescues now. We've got that process so streamlined. If we have a highly adoptable animal, it doesn't stay at the shelter very long.
Hey, excuse my tardiness.
Sergeant Paul Blackwell with Animal Enforcement.
I was wondering where one of all was.
We're here.
Good seeing you, buddy.
All right.
It's been one of those days. I will be sitting in proxy for Lieutenant Marshall.
Have you got a mic over there?
Fairly close.
Okay. So.
Yeah.
So the way that we get, let's keep going down the services that we provide. We've started a new program. We used to call it SNAP, now it's called SNIP. This is a partner with Blue Ridge Humane Society. And in short, we're offering spay-neuter services to any county resident, doesn't matter what their income level is. For $10, and that includes a rabies shot.
It doesn't matter.
It does not matter. That's the big difference.
I might bring my dog over.
That's the big difference. It's $10. It includes rabies if your animal needs it. We tell people to bring proof of a rabies so we don't have animals over vaccinated. But the citizen just simply makes an appointment with us. They show up the morning we tell them to, and we shuttle the animals up to Humane Alliance. And since this launched in July 1, which is when our budget year started, which when we received funding for it, we have done 268 animals.
That's
going to make an impact down the road for us. The regional emergency shelter, and I'm proud to say that we did deploy that during Irma. So I spent a lot of hours at the shelter, the Red Cross shelter, and we did take in three animals for families that needed a shelter and also needed shelter for their animal. And it was their own site with the people so that they would not stay at home and put themselves in danger because they didn't have anywhere for their animals to come. That's about it on that. I mean, most of that stuff y'all are familiar with, you know, that we do that. And we collaborate and cooperate with a whole lot of different agencies to succeed in all of this. And most recently, our spay-neuter initiatives with partnered with Blue Ridge Humane Society. And what Blue Ridge Humane Society is actually doing is they have hired a full-time person to administer this program, and they're out at the shelter with us. I've given them an office space.
Nice.
And so, because their shelter currently is located out in Eddyville, so we're trying to make it as easy as we can. So, and then I have a staff person in the mornings that's dedicated to helping that Blue Ridge person get people checked in and stuff like that. And one day, two days a month, we do a transport of 30 animals. The clinic actually sends out a big van. So, and we're going to try to stack 40 on there on the 20th on Halloween, which is a Tuesday.
Who are the vets that are taking care of this?
This is all goes to Humane Alliance up in Asheville, which is a non-profit spay-neuter organization. It's actually owned by the ASPCA now. It's a wonderful resource for this community. If we didn't have, we're really lucky to have a place like that geographically close. It's still like 25 minutes to get up there. But it's really a good thing for a shelter.
We were really hurting after that last spay-neuter program ended.
Yeah, when Community Partnership for Pets decided to stop doing the spay-neuter, this is an effort to fill that void. And the numbers we're going to try to hit, we're going to try to replicate what Mary and her group were doing. So
other than the drive-by board on Stony Mountain, how do people know?
We haven't had so
how
far.
How do people know that they can do that for $10?
You tell me. We have not had to advertise it yet. And we've got money for advertising for it, but we're not going to use it till we have to. We've got people booked out into October, so
nice.
You know, it's
how many days a week do you transport?
3 days a week.
3 days a week.
Mm-hmm. And we put, like I said, there's 2 days during the month when we put 30 animals on the transport, but all the other days is 10 to 12. So you
know, how many have you done?
200 and 60. About 270.
How can they do that many in one day?
Oh, and we're not the only ones that bring them. Oh, no, they
No,
do.
That's what I mean. How are they getting that many?
Yeah, they have all neighboring counties.
Yeah. It's like an assembly line when they do it.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen them doing
that? No, is it veterinarians that are volunteering their time to come and do that?
No, they're paid. Mm-hmm.
They're paid.
They're paid. And it's also a training center. Other communities that are wanting to establish a place like this, and they send folks to come to train to learn how to operate one of these places. So it's a pretty good. Do you have any insight on it, Dr. Jewell, that I may not?
No, I mean it is. It's very much an assembly line.
Yeah,
I mean,
it is, and that's all they do.
When you've got that many animals,
that's all they do. And if there's any complication, say the dog is a cryptorchid or a meaning that maybe his testicle hasn't descended, if it's a male, or if they've got a heart murmur, they decline the surgery because they've got too many to give special monitoring to one. So we do run into that sometimes, and the people will go to a vet to have that done. But there are other services that they can elect to have while they're there, other vaccines, heartworm tests, feline leukemia.
So y'all take them, they bring them to the shelter. They leave them. Y'all take them.
Yeah, we bring them back.
They bring them back after they're awake or
the next day.
The next day.
Yeah. So they
keep them monitored overnight.
Yeah. And then the next day we're taking up another load. So it's kind of it's good logistically because we're taking up a load and we're picking up a load. So we actually make 4 trips up there a week, and one trip is just to drop off, and one trip's just to pick up. So. So that's a good program, and it's really we've had a great response from it. And I told the girl who's over it that we're not going to advertise until we have to, you know, we start having to. You know, but right now we're booked out to the end of October. You know, we've got 28 animals already scheduled for that Halloween trip on Tuesday. So we'll definitely, there's a lot of animals. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't think. So so we work with a lot of private organizations and, of course, government organizations. We work with Blue Ridge, Brother Wolf, Charlie's Angels, Community Partnership for Pets, and Transylvania Animal Alliance Group.
Can I go back?
Yeah.
Of the 30 that you take, are those all people that have brought their pets, or are those from dogs that are in the shelter that are part of that 30 that are going?
If we have an animal that's adopted, we always allocate 10 spots. They give us 10 spots. If we have those 10 spots filled, we can call up there and say, hey, we just had a couple dogs adopted. Can we put a couple more on there? And, they'll take 2 or 3 more. Yeah. Right. But the bulk of them are all animals that are from what we would refer to as the public animals.
It's one thing not to advertise if you're doing your own dogs, you know, and the goal is to keep everybody else's dogs from.
Yeah. So to answer your question,
pups,
the bulk of them are public spayment. Right. Yeah. Now I'm going to the live rate. Our live rate, if you look at the PowerPoint that I did a few months ago that had the 2016 numbers. Our intake numbers for 2016 are just a little bit higher. The 2015 numbers were 2,128, yet our live rate has remained at 67. So we've We kept the live rate at 67%. And again, when I calculate the live rate, I'm calculating everything. There are animals that are sick, animals that have temperaments that are not conducive to being adopted out. So if I were to separate those out, our live rate would be, if I put in there the animals we had to euthanize for space, we would, I hate to say this, and I know I'm saying on record, but we would qualify as a no-kill, really. I mean, as the definition goes. A lot of people think no-kill means no-kill, but in a lot of circles, no-kill means you only put down, you know, 85 to 90, or you only put down 15 to 10% of the animals that are adopted. And I think we would definitely be caught into that category. So,
and most of that's for viability reasons anyway, or not non-adoptable.
Right. Or yeah. feral cats, or animals that, you know, it's more humane to put them to sleep because, you know, they've been bounced around several times and, you know, and just the temperament is a public safety type concern. And this goes back to what I was in the earlier part, the successfully increased return to owners. In 2007, and if you look at our intake numbers back then, they were probably around 3,500. I know 2011 we peaked at 3,900, but our return to owners in 2007 were 203. Now our return to owners 450, and we're taking in less animals, so our percentage of, you know, getting people reunited with their pets is a lot higher, and that's because we're proactive. And social media helps a lot. You know, social media has really taken off, so we can, you know, look on Craigslist, Facebook, and, you know, you can see where people have posted animals that they're missing and stuff. So that's helped as well. Sometimes it can make things more complicated, but overall it's good. It's a good tool. So, the next page, the intake numbers and public spay-neuter assistance. I think in this, I was just trying to capture, you know, what CPPI did while they were here, while they were still doing. CPPI is still active; they're just not actively doing spay-neuter surgeries now. So, but if you look at how many they were doing in a year, 25. I mean, they did 26,000 spay-neuter surgeries since 2005, and they ended their program in 2016. So. That averages out to be around 3,000 animals per year, which is what we're trying to hit with the new program. So, and then this last paragraph here kind of, it just tells you what I was telling you guys about the Blue Ridge Humane Society partnership. And what brought about that partnership, number one was CPPI exiting the scene, and also the Board of Commissioners set aside $100,000 for public spay-neuter. They gave $50,000 up front, and they said they would match up to $50,000 more to what municipalities would put in. Well, Hendersonville put in $20,000, so we kicked in another $20,000, so we've got $90,000 dedicated to spay-neuter. And the spay-neuter surgeries up there on average cost about $45. Mm-hmm. So we're getting a lot of surgeries done for that amount of money. And some of that money can also be used for advertising the program, which we haven't had to tap into yet. So hats off to our county and city leaders for recognizing the need for that. This graph really doesn't show a lot of correlation of spay-neuter impact on euthanasia, but it does show you that our intake numbers and our animal euthanasia, our intake drives our euthanasia numbers, and you guys that have been on this board have seen this repeatedly, and I've, you know, this is to demonstrate that We only put animals down when we have to. We don't have a, you know, an animal's been here for a week, put it down. We do it when we have to, and this right here is a kind of an indication of that. So, the next page just kind of shows what each group is doing, each a rescue group. And you'll see we've had a long-standing relationship with Blue Ridge. And then Charlie's Angels, they're a fairly new group and a small group, and they have a shelter over close to Smiley's.
Yeah.
And they do, all these folks do a good job. But Tag, they're our go-to for kittens, bottle kittens. If we have in a litter of kittens that come in without the mom and they just would not be able to thrive otherwise, Tag takes a lot of those. And they have a network of fosters that are trained and know how to take care of those, because it's a lot of time commitment. And this is another graph that really, it just shows how many animals are being pulled by rescues and how our euthanasia numbers have came down as a result of that. But I'll tell you, the biggest driver of our intake numbers coming down is spay neuter drop. I'm convinced. And whenever y'all see me refer to something as live rate, that just means the number of animals that we're getting out of the facility, not having to put them to sleep. So that's what that means. But from what you saw on that graph before, it's a direct function of time and available space. And, you know, the space I've got is what I've got. It's what, you know, we can't shrink and swell our facility.
What is capacity?
Well, it depends on the population, because sometimes you can double animals up, but we haven't had to double up animals in a long time, unless it's a litter of kittens or puppies that do better when they're with their mates for a time period. We've got, how many dog? We've got 21 basic dog runs that are for regular size, you know, anywhere from a small dog up to the bigger dog as you could imagine. We've got 21 runs that would cater to that. And then we've got six that runs that are more for small breeds or animals that may be more timid. It's a little quieter in there and it's separate. And then we've got 11 quarantine runs. And that's for dogs. Cats, we've got probably about 40 cages for cats. So maybe more than that. Maybe 60 counting the room that we kind of put some additional cages in. So, let's see. So, the next page you'll see our live rate. And if you look at that real close, our live rate really hasn't changed because it's still at 67%, like I told you before, even though our intake numbers went up this year by, you know, about 40-some animals. Our live rate still maintained at 67%. It's even, it may be just a little bit higher this year than it was last year, our live rate, so, but not by, by less than a percent. So, this next one, I haven't figured out a good way to explain this to people, and I need to figure it out, but this... The next slide says live rate includes all dogs and cats despite health and behavior. But if you want to break that down, below the percentage of animals that were euthanized because of space issues only, say they were adoptable, you'll see in 2015, I think probably about 10% of the animals that were euthanized were animals that were adoptable, that we probably would have adopted if we didn't have issues with space. And that happens mainly in the spring, to tell you the truth.
And those
especially
are, that there weren't rescues that could take them or anything. Everybody was full, nobody could.
Yeah, and I hate to say this, but they may be animals that may have not been really marketable. They may have been, you know, animals that the rescue may have had five other animals just like it. And I hate to say this, but a lot of times when you run into this, it's animal breeds like pit bulls and stuff. You know, a rescue might have five, you know, brindle pit bulls in their facility, and they've had those for two or three months, and they can't move them. Well, they can't justify, you know, taking two or three from us, because that's kind of clogging up an artery, so to speak, that, you know, where animals, other animals could be going through and being rescued. So, yeah, there are times when there's animals that we have to put to sleep because of space, but what I've tried to demonstrate on this is versus 2011, how much better it's gotten. So, the feral cats, though, right, Paul? The feral cats, there's not a whole lot of change in that. I mean, when people are trapping feral cats and bringing them to us, it's like they'll get so many and they don't see so many around them, they kind of slack off. We try to tell people, when you're doing it, do it till you don't see any more. Bring them to us till you don't see any more, because otherwise you're going to be bringing them back to us next year and next year. But anyhow, you can't.
Are you spaying and neutering those cats and then they get to go back out and be feral, but they're just not? No.
No.
But they're not adoptable.
No, so those are built into the euthanasia numbers. So if you culled out all our feral cats, our cat numbers would be really good. In fact, I know they would be way higher than that, the dog numbers, as far as for space issues. Well, cats, you'd be surprised. We can really adopt out cats and get out cats into rescue programs. I'm surprised at how well we do with them. Our challenges really haven't changed that much. I do have efficiently locating owners of lost pets. You know, you get an animal. I used to get excited when a chip would find a chip. But anymore, I mean, people, they don't update their chips, or you call their, they don't update the information that's linked to their chip, or either their phone's been disconnected. You know, all kinds of things. Or they gave, oh yeah, that was my dog, but I gave it to somebody a year ago. Well, who'd you give it to, so I can tell? I don't know. It's awful. It really is. In the whole scheme of things, though, chips are good, but they can be problematic. That's all I've got. If anybody got any questions.
Do you still have staffing issues from morale based off of what you're doing?
Yeah, but I tell you what, and I tell this to the rescue groups, if it weren't for the rescue groups, I probably wouldn't be there now. I'll be honest with you. Let alone my other folks. I mean, my turnover would be awful. And I don't have turnover. I just don't have turnover. We've got a good group of people. We do have a girl leaving because her husband's being, he's in the military, he's being relocated, so she's going to have to move because of that. And then I had another girl leave. I can't get into all that, but, you know, so.
Very little turnover.
Yeah, little turnover. And I think that's because of Paul. I think everybody likes to come see Paul.
No, I don't think so. Wow. I think it's because it's very professionally run.
Oh, I've
been to several shelters, and it's just very professional. Everybody there is friendly. And
well, we focus on customer service, and if you do that, you really can't go wrong. I mean, we're really customer-oriented, and, which is the way it should be. You know, people pay their taxes, and they expect a high level of service, and if we don't deliver that, then we're not doing our job.
You know what? I think you're such an exception.
Yeah.
You read stories of other counties here in this state, but Guilford County, that continues to have a problem with their shelter no matter what they do. And so, I mean, my hat's off to you. Jack, have you ever been over to the county shelter?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You go? Okay. So, I mean, because
he just comes and sits in my office.
I'm a regular.
Okay. I mean, because I remember the first time I ever walked in there. I mean, you know, it is...
Clean,
and that was the number one thing that stuck to me. I was like, if I close my eyes, there's nothing that's telling me I'm sitting in a dog shelter.
Well, what I tell
you didn't see what that replaced either.
Could do a curtain.
No, I never saw what it replaced.
It was bad.
Yeah.
We have got an awesome shelter now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, because there are plenty of places where it's
involved. I'm allergic to dogs and cats, especially in the morning when I walk in out there. No problem. I can walk into the shelter when it's real bad, when they, you know, when they've had a bad day, and it's just, you know, all of a sudden. When you walk in out there, most of the time when I walk in out there, no problem at all.
Yeah.
No smell. Of course, if not, you know, but you're going to have that, but they're real good to clean up and keep it clean.
We don't cut corners. We clean every day. We don't cut corners. The only day that we might be slack is I have less people on the weekends. On Sundays, we'll do what we call a quick clean. But, you know, if we... Everything gets clean. I mean, there's no animals in feces.
No.
You know, everything gets clean. We may not pull out every towel that we've got in there with a cat and wash it like we do other days, but, you know, I think our definition of a quick clean, I'm not tooting my own horn or my staff's horn, is probably a regular clean at some other shelters.
Mm-hmm.
But what I... The philosophy I go by is if we aren't showing that we value the animals, people that are coming and looking at them aren't going to either. They're not going to adopt them.
That's
if
right.
They come and say, we don't care about them, well, why should I? So,
good job.
Well, if there's no other questions, if somebody wants to.
Would you like me to make a motion? I make a motion to leave the public hearing.
I second the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Let the man go get a drink. Here we go.
Drink and roll.